welcome everyone this morning. Thank you for coming out. And those of you who are watching by live stream, thank you for joining us today. Let's get into the Word this morning. I like to, just get right into it. If you're hungry this morning, sometimes we'd like to just get right into the meal rather than waiting. So if you're hungry this morning, let's eat. There was a gentleman who was on his way to a destination that he was to go to, where he was scheduled to attend a meeting, a very important business meeting. And as they were getting closer and closer to their destination, he noticed that the plane was not heading down towards the runway. Moments later, the captain or the pilot from the plane made an announcement on the intercom, informing the people that they were in a holding pattern. And they were circling the area because they didn't get any permission to land. And so they were telling the people that they had to wait for the control tower to tell them that they can land. Now, this gentleman was very frustrated because he was put in a holding pattern over which he had no control at all. Now, he didn't mind being in a holding pattern that he can control, because then he can land whenever he wants to. But whenever you're in a holding pattern, it can be a frustrating thing or place to be. And more importantly, it is not a good feeling to be put in a holding pattern and not know how long it's going to last. I want you to turn over with me to Psalm chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading in verses 1 and 2, because David found himself also in a holding pattern, which led to his despair and frustration. In Psalm 13, beginning at verse 1, it says this: O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? Verse 2. How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? So it appears that David had been in a holding pattern for quite some time, because for a time he cries out to the Lord, repeating the same words, "How long, O Lord?" How many of you have ever been in a holding pattern and you found yourself crying out to God, "How long?" David was frustrated and was in a period of despair because he felt that his troubles will never leave him. He saw no hope for deliverance, and he felt like the Lord had abandoned him and forgotten him. How long? How many of us have ever felt like we're in a holding pattern and we cried out, "Lord, how long must we wait for you to step in and help us?" This morning I want to talk to you about the worst four letter in the entire Bible. And that word is wait. How many know what I'm talking about? Waiting is the most difficult thing to do. Now, let's be honest, no one likes to wait. However, all of life, we're still going to have to wait. How many times have we waited in rush hour traffic? How many times have we waited at the grocery line? How many times have we waited at the doctor's office or even in the airport? Waiting is just something that we have to do, whether we like it or not. It's part of life. Now, the reason why we don't like to wait is because it's not in our DNA to want to wait. It's not part of our nature. As a matter of fact, we like to be in control of things. How many would you agree? We like to take matters into our own hands, and we like to follow our own plans when things don't move as quickly as we like it. Amen?
Amen.
However, we live in an "I want it now, gotta have it now, can't wait" culture, right? That's what we live in. And what's even worse is that society has spoiled us and made it possible for us to get immediate gratification through all the modern technology and all the modern conveniences, such as cell phones, microwaves, fast food restaurants, online banking, online shopping. I mean, we have everything at the immediate fingertips. But even in the age of modern technology and modern conveniences, we still have to wait. Amen? As a matter of fact, every one of us is waiting for something or someone all the time, most of the time. Yet all throughout the Bible, we are instructed over and over and over again to wait on the Lord. And if truth be told, the worst kind of waiting is waiting for the Lord, as we saw in David's example. But to really understand God, we have to understand his timetable. Because his timetable is much different than our timetable. We experience time much different than God experiences time. God had existed before time and space, or time and creation. So therefore, time had no existence because God dwelt outside of time. But when God created the heavens and the earth, he also created time and space. But yet, even though we're in time, we're limited in time because we can't go back in time. How many of us have ever asked ourselves, I wish I can turn back the clock? Even though we do that once a year. But sometimes we want to do it often. Or how many times have we said, there's just not enough time in a day? It just goes to show you how limited we are in time. But God doesn't have those limitations because he doesn't live within time. He lives outside of time. And a good example of that is over in 2 Peter chapter 3. If you go in verse 8, because God's perspective of time is much different than man's perspective of time. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, Peter's writing to Christian Jews who had been going through some heavy persecution. And he says to them this, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like a thousand years to the Lord, and a thousand years is like a day. So to his readers, God must have been slow, or may have been slow, because of the persecution that they were going every day as they cried out to God to deliver them. But understand that God is not slow. He just doesn't operate in our timetable. Are you hearing me this morning? God is not in time. He's outside of time. And God does not count time as you and I do. The Bible describes God as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That means that he is a God that sees all eternity's past and all of eternity's future. We serve a mighty, wonderful, powerful God. And something else to know about God's timetable is his timetable is always perfect. Just like all of God's ways are perfect. And because you and I cannot comprehend the timelessness of God, we try to confine God into our timetable. We try to make demands upon God to work according to our timeline. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? But when we begin to learn more about God, we're going to come to understand that God is sovereign and that he is in control of all things, including time. And when we know that, our waiting for the Lord would become less stressful and less burdensome. But God has a timetable that he wants to accomplish according to his will and his purpose. I want to read something to you from Pastor Charles Swindoll. And he made this statement about God's timetable. And this is what he said. God doesn't work on our timetable. He has a plan that he will execute perfectly and for the highest, greatest good of all and for his ultimate glory. In other words, God works out all things according to his timetable, for his purpose, and for his ultimate glory. And expecting us to wait is no different. God's timetable is always set to accomplish His will and His purpose. For example, go to Psalm 57. Look at verse 2. Psalm 57 verse 2 says this: I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill His purpose for me. In other words, God has a purpose for every one of us that He wants to fulfill, but in His timeline or in His timetable. Another example over here, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says that to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose. In other words, there is a fixed season for God's plan and purpose to be fulfilled in His time. And a good example of that is over in Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse 4. And it starts out by saying this: but when the fullness of time had come. In other words, when the right time has come. When is the right time? God's time. God's timetable. And he goes on to say, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In other words, God had appointed a time for His Son, the Savior, to be born. Jesus was not born in a stable by coincidence. It was a set time that God had established in order to fulfill His purpose. We also see a similar example over in Matthew 26 and verse 18. Why don't you go there? Excuse me. It says, as you go into the city, now this was Jesus speaking to His disciples, and He told them, you will see a certain man, tell him, the teacher says, watch this, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with all of my disciples at your house. So the time that Jesus was referring to was His time that He was about to give His life for the world. So we see here that God established time and purpose for Jesus' birth as well as His death. Jesus also established a set time for His resurrection, which was at the third day. He also set a time for Jesus to return. We just don't know when. But we know it'll be the right time. And it'll be a time that God wants to fulfill because it's according to His purpose. So when we talk about, and here's a wonderful thing. Imagine this. All the historical events that have taken place throughout the world from the beginning of time. Think about this. No event in history had put so much as a wrinkle in the timing of God's eternal plan. Nothing that belongs to God or is about God as it concerns His plan and His purposes was altered or disrupted despite what happened in the world. That is so awesome because God is set to fulfill His purpose, and nothing will interrupt or disrupt His purpose and His will. That also includes His will and purpose for our lives. Isn't that wonderful to know? So, but our human nature, this is where we get ourselves in trouble. Our human nature can often make waiting for God's perfect timing a difficult thing to do because it's not in our DNA to wait. We want things now. We want it right away. But even though we're limited in time, we can trust God's timing because God is in control of time all the time. Now, let me spend the next few minutes talking about what it means to wait on the Lord from a biblical perspective. The first thing we need to understand is to wait on the Lord means that we are not in control. And how many of us don't like to be out of control, or I should say, not under control? We always want to be in control. But the moment we find ourselves not in control of something, it makes us very uncomfortable, especially when it comes to waiting. How many of you have to wait for your spouse and you know that you're out of control or you're not in control because you're waiting for your spouse and it determines when that spouse will come out, and whether it's shopping or whatever? I may be talking to somebody here this morning. But every day, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, we are constantly watching time, setting time, making meetings, and even calculating how much time we have left, which shows you how much in control you want to be when it comes to time. But so much of life It's outside of our control. It can be very frustrating when we find ourselves in a waiting pattern or in a holding pattern and not know how long it's going to last. And knowing that we're in a holding pattern and we're not in control, that's a very uncomfortable feeling to be, an uncomfortable place to be. But whenever we have to wait, we find that we are not in control of the situation. Let me give you an example. Over in Mark chapter 5, look at verse 22. It's a very familiar story. I'm going to read from 22 through verse 24. Beginning in verse 22, it says this. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him meaning Jesus, he fell at his feet. Verse 23. And he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Then in verse 24, it says that Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him or crowded him. Now Jairus came to Jesus, a desperate man. His daughter was dying. He says she was at the point of death, which means that she did not have much time left. So there was a sense of urgency in Jairus' voice because time was of the essence and he needed Jesus' help right now. So Jesus, according to verse 24, agreed to go with him and followed him to his house. But on the way to his house, Jesus got delayed. He was interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. And you know the story. When Jesus felt someone touch him, he turned around. He wanted to know who it was. And keep in mind, there was a crowd of people surrounding him. And he began to see the woman, talk to the woman, tend to the woman. Meanwhile, Jairus was standing by waiting. He was in a holding place and he had no control. Now you can imagine what was going through his mind. His daughter was dying. She didn't have much time to live. He was desperate. And the only hope that he had for his daughter to live was Jesus. But Jesus was occupied. He was delayed. He was interrupted. Too often, and we're all guilty of this, because understand this, when he was waiting, it's never a good feeling to be put on hold and not know for how long. We are guilty of treating God as though he was a fast food worker serving us through the drive-thru. How many of you ever ordered something from the drive-thru, right? And that's how we treat God. As a matter of fact, we want God to move as quickly as a microwave with instant results. Right? Even though it seemed like Jesus was not in any rush to tend to Jairus' needs, it wasn't because he was indifferent or insensitive to Jairus' situation or even his daughter's condition. No, he wasn't in any rush simply because Jesus operates on his timetable. Jesus is in control of the situation. Understand this. It's not that the Lord doesn't know or understand our situation. It's just that he just doesn't let the situation control him. God is always in control of the situation. So when we talk about waiting in a biblical sense, it means that we understand that God knows what he's doing and he's in control of all things. And I really want you to get this because when you're waiting, it's very easy to lose hope. It's very easy to fall into despair. It's very easy to feel forgotten and abandoned like David. But when you know that God operates on a different timetable than you, it allows us to wait a lot easier and a lot more at peace. So here Jesus was still talking to the woman while Jairus was still waiting. And as he was waiting, the Bible goes on to say that a messenger came to give Jairus the latest news about his daughter. And the news was that his daughter died. Now, understanding human nature, when you hear news like that, you're devastated. Your hope is crushed. You feel like a deep, sick feeling inside of us with sorrow. And here's the thing. The hope that he had was in Christ. And he couldn't get to his daughter in time. And she died. His hope was crushed. When Jairus' daughter died, Jairus' faith also died. But listen to what verse 36 says. Here's an example of how the Lord Jesus is in control of the circumstances. In verse 36, it says that Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." In other words, trust me, I got this. I'm in control. So it doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter how late it seems. God does not operate on our timetable, but he's in control. Waiting can also be a time of development. Sometimes God makes us wait intentionally because there's something that he wants to work in our lives. He's always working while we're waiting. This illustration, some of you probably use one of those pop-up thermometers that you put into a turkey when you're cooking the turkey and you put it in the oven. And when it pops up, what does that tell you? The turkey is done. It means it's ready to eat. But the only way that thing works effectively is if you put that thermometer deep into the very core of the turkey. Because if the turkey is not cooked, it's not ready to eat. Have you ever eaten an uncooked turkey? But when that inner core is right, then that thermometer pops up saying that it's time to eat. Now, what does that have to do with us as believers? Well, many people are waiting for God to pop up and say, "I will give you the desires of your heart," not realizing that God is waiting for us to be fully cooked, if you will. There are some of us who want to go around half cooked rather than waiting to be fully cooked. Sometimes God's delays are often meant to help us in our spiritual development. There's some things that God wants to work in our lives. And his delay is often a way to expose certain areas in our lives that he wants to work on. Amen. And so sometimes we wait, "Lord, why are we waiting? Why am I waiting so long? Why are you taking so long?" Well, it could be that maybe God is waiting for you. It could be that maybe God wants to develop something in your life. And one of the things that we need developing in our lives, and I'm sure that we can all agree, is our faith. Right? Now, the Bible stresses the importance of faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that faith is so important that it is impossible to please God without it. In 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that every Christian are called to live a life of faith. To walk in faith, not by sight. And if you read through the Gospels, how many times have we read Jesus rebuking his disciples because they had little faith? God does not want us to settle for little faith. God wants to develop great faith in us. He wants to raise our level of faith. All right? So waiting on the Lord means that we are not in, well, I already talked about that. But let me talk about Jairus for a moment. When we read about his situation, about his daughter dying, it was interesting because Jairus had faith in Jesus' ability to heal his daughter. Because in verse 23, he tells them, Lord, come to my house, lay your hands upon her, and she will be healed and she will live. So obviously, Jairus had a strong faith that Jesus was able to heal his daughter. However, when his daughter died, his faith died. And now understand this. If Jesus had healed his daughter while she was still alive, that would have been a miracle in itself. Right? But she didn't. She died. But that's why Jesus quickly said, don't be afraid, have faith. Because what Jesus wanted to do was to raise his faith level to a greater miracle. You know, it's one thing to heal someone when they're sick, but to raise somebody from the dead, that takes great faith. And God wants to develop that same faith in us. In James chapter 1, look at verse 3 and 4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James was saying here that the trying or testing of our faith produces something in us. In this case, it's patience. But God wants to produce something in us. He wants to work something in us. He wants to get us to a place where we have strong faith, where our faith is strong, firm, established, fixed. That's what he wanted to be. Go to Psalm 112 and look at verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, and he shall not be afraid of evil tidings or bad news. His heart is what? Firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on and being confident in the Lord. Verse 8, and his heart is established and steady. He will not be afraid while he waits to see his desire established, hallelujah, upon his adversaries. That's where God wants to take us. That's what he wants to develop in us. God's desire is for us to establish, to have an established heart, fixed and established in faith in him, so that even as we wait, nothing can move us, nothing can shake us, because our heart and our faith is established and fixed. It is solid, and we cannot be moved. But sometimes when we're waiting, we're shaky, right? It can be a very uncomfortable place. Why? Because we're not in control. We're relying and leaning on God to come through for us. But we're also waiting for his timetable. We're saying, Lord, I need you now. But God's saying, I got a set time for you. Just wait. But what's so wonderful about this is this. Waiting, as much as we don't like it, is necessary. Because waiting, God values waiting. And the reason why is because it's one of the main tools that God uses to get to our hearts and change us on the inside out. Waiting is God's opportunity to do a work in us and even work around us. When we're waiting, it allows God to do his work. So we need to remain steadfast. If some of you right now are in a holding pattern, some of you have been put on hold and you're waiting and you're wondering. But let me encourage you this morning. Be steadfast, because God understands your situation, but also know that God is in control of your situation. And just wait, because God will come through for you. We just sang a song about how God is always faithful to us. Yes. That doesn't change. We don't just believe that because we sing it. We believe it because we live it. God wants to stretch and develop our faith walk so that we don't lack in anything. Waiting also means having a confident expectation. Go to Psalm 130. Look at verses 5 and 6. When we talk about waiting, we're talking about the passage of time. Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. Verse 6 says, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Now, David here compares waiting on the Lord to a night watchman who waits all night, waiting for the morning to come when he can be relieved of his duties. Morning is sure to come. How many believe that? Did morning come this morning?
Yes.
Will morning come tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Well, just as sure as morning will come, there's still a passage of time. Just like the watchman had to wait all night before morning came, but he knew morning was coming. In this I know or I want it now generation, we have to accept the fact that waiting involves a passage of time. Just like we're sitting at the doctor's office or waiting for our flight to arrive or even waiting for our retirement, there's a passage of time when we're waiting. But waiting on the Lord just doesn't only mean enduring the passing of time. It also means waiting with expectation, with hope. When David used the word wait in Psalm 130, it's the word gava in Hebrew, which means to wait, to look for, to hope, or to expect. It means having a hopeful expectation. So when you expect something, how many expect something? Okay, we're all expecting something. Maybe we're expecting a check in the mail. Maybe we're expecting a tax return, whatever. We're expecting something. Which means that when you're expecting something, you're regarding it as something that's likely to happen. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
In other words, what do you expect when you're sitting at the doctor's office? Somebody said good news. Yes, and you're expecting good news. So when somebody's waiting at the doctor's office, they're expecting good news. They're expecting to see their doctor. They're expecting to be examined by their doctor. They're expecting to be treated by their doctor. They're expecting to see him. No one goes to the doctor's office just to wait in the waiting area. All right? But we wait because we're expecting to see our doctor. So when a person waits on God, what are they waiting for? What are they expecting? They're expecting that God come in to help them in their time of need. So just as we expect the doctor to see us, we should also expect God to see us. David says in Psalm 130 and verse 6 that just as a watchman waits for the sun to rise in the morning because he knows that the sunrise is reliable, he says, so shall I wait on the Lord, because he knows that God is more reliable than the rising of the sun. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? When you're waiting because you're expecting something to happen. You're expecting God to come through. Now, however long that takes, it doesn't matter. We still have to wait, because waiting is a passage of time. But know that God is coming through. Know or treat it as something is likely to happen. So to wait from a biblical standpoint is always to be looking and expecting for God to show up. Look at Psalm 27. Look at verse 14. Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring, or let it be established and firm and steady. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. David looked confidently for the Lord because he was waiting with hopeful expectation, believing that God would come through. Now, what's interesting was when you read the Psalm of David, many times was thought of as though he was afraid, as though he had no assurance, as though he felt so despairing and frustrated. But he always ends his psalm with thanksgiving, with praise, with hope. So it's just like us, you know, we complain, we fall into despair, we get frustrated because we're waiting on God, but yet in the end, we praise him, we thank him, we honor him, because we know somehow, some way, in his time, God is going to move on our behalf. But notice that David was not waiting expectantly for something to happen. David was waiting expectantly for someone to happen. And that someone is God. Many of us depend too much on waiting on other things or waiting on other people. And we always end up disappointed because our waiting, our expectation is not of God. A good example of that is this. Go to John chapter 5, beginning in verse 2, and we know the story. It said, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, doing what? Waiting for the moving of the water. There are too many of us who are still waiting for the moving of the water instead of waiting on God. Now, these sick people, the story goes that these people were waiting because every once in a while their belief was that an angel would come and stir the water. And the first person that jumps in the water while it's being stirred becomes healed. So you can understand why all those people were there. But they were waiting on circumstances to occur. Now, there was a certain man who also had an infirmity for 38 years. He was also there with all the other sick people waiting for the moving of the water. Now go to John chapter 5 and verse 6, because Jesus identifies this person. And he says, when Jesus saw him lying there waiting and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And this was his response in verse 7. The sick man answered him, said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another step down before me. Notice where his focus was. The man was waiting for circumstances to occur, which is the moving of the water. But he was also waiting for man to help him into the water. And each time he walked away or he left there disappointed and discouraged. Why? Because he was waiting for the wrong thing. And that's why so many of us become discouraged as well, because we're waiting for the wrong thing. We're waiting for the moving of the water when we should be waiting on God to come through for us. What you wait for or who you wait for will determine your victory or your defeat. It will determine your joy or your disappointment. It will determine your victory or your defeat, your success or your failure. Who or what are you waiting for? Look at Psalm chapter 62 and look at verse 5. It says this, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. I love David's words because he made it very clear that he was waiting for no one or nothing. But he was waiting on God and God alone. And when you're waiting on God only, you're waiting on a sure thing. Waiting on the Lord also means not going outside of God in order to resolve your issues. Because what happens is that when you go outside of God, you're only delaying what God is trying to do while you're waiting. You see, you don't realize that God is already getting ready to do some things in your lives. But when we begin to go outside of him and take matters into our own hands, we're saying, Lord, I can't wait for you. And all you're doing is simply messing things up and delaying what God is already getting ready to do for your situation. Look at Psalm 39. Look at verse 7. David says this, and now, Lord, what do I wait for and expect? And that's the question you should ask yourself. What are you waiting for and what are you expecting? David says, my hope and my expectation are in you. Glory to God. The key to receiving an answer from God is waiting expectantly and patiently. That's the key. All that David that he received from the Lord was simply because he waited. He made a deliberate decision to wait and to be patient with the Lord. Because at the end of our waiting, we eventually will reap our harvest in due season. There are great rewards when we wait on the Lord. There are benefits because at the end of our waiting, God will always come through. Let me close with this. There's a couple who went to the airport to catch their flight. When they got to the airport, an agent told them that they couldn't board and they had to wait. So they go into the waiting area, waiting to be boarded, not knowing why. They were put to the side and didn't understand why they were put to the side. So in the meantime, people were boarding the plane, and even more people were boarding the plane, and time had passed. By this time, this couple was getting frustrated because they couldn't understand why they were waiting and didn't know why they were waiting. In other words, it was out of their control. And so people will still continue to board. And by this time, now they're getting mad. They were getting angry. Because they were told to wait with no explanation and with no time frame. So by this time, everybody was on the plane except them. They were going to be the last to board, even though they were one of the first ones there. And of course, all kinds of things were running through their heads. This isn't right. This isn't fair. Why would they treat us this way? Why are we waiting? How come they don't tell us anything? This is the last time we're going to fly in this flight, this airline. All kinds of stuff were going on in their heads. Finally, everybody was on board except them. Until finally their name was called. Now they were free to board the plane. So as they boarded the plane, they were frustrated, they were angry, they were upset. Unbeknownst to them, they were upgraded to first class. Now their sorrow turned into joy. Their anger turned into happiness, and they each had a little pep in their step as they boarded the plane because they were bumped from coach to first class. And they realized that sometime waiting isn't so bad at all. Always at the end of our waiting, there's always great rewards. There's a pastor his church was thriving and growing, and he realized that he needed to start building. And so he was looking for some land that he can build so he can begin to expand his ministry. And so he was praying and asking God to show him, and finally he found a piece of land, a piece of property, and it was perfect. And so he brought it before the elders and before the staff, and then he brought it before the congregation, and everybody was happy and excited, and they all got behind the pastor. So he put in a bid. Of course, there was somebody else who also put on a bid on that land. But every week, the pastor would go with his prayer team, and they would go to the site. They would all form a circle and hold hands and begin to pray and thank God and praise God. And they would walk around the property, claiming the property and just thanking God. After a few weeks, the pastor gets a call from the realtor and said, "We're sorry, but we sold the property to someone else." You can imagine the pastor was really upset. He couldn't understand, "Lord, I know that this property was mine. I know it. I felt it in my heart. Everything seemed to be right. It's the perfect place, perfect location." And he was really disappointed. And he couldn't figure out why. He did all the right things. He even prayed, and he had people praying, and they were believing and claiming and confessing. They did all the right things. Yet, they didn't get the property. A year went by, and one day he gets a call from the same realtor. And the realtor asks him, "Are you still interested in the property?" Now, I don't know what happened to the other guy, but something happened. It just didn't work out. But a whole year went by, and he asked, "Are you still interested in the property?" And he was willing to give the pastor the property at far less than what he originally bid it for. And he took the property and got it. Sometimes it pays to wait. And sometimes disappointment doesn't necessarily mean disappointment. It could also mean God's delay for something good. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15. I'll close this verse. God had made a promise to Abraham, a son. And he waited a lot of years. And in verse 13 of Hebrews 6 says this, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, and God took an oath in his own name, saying in verse 14, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. But it's verse 15 that I like. Then Abraham waited patiently and to receive what God had promised. Good things do come to those who wait. This is a God who acts on our behalf as we wait on him. When I think about that, just make me want to love God even more. Because of how faithful he is. So we can do all the waiting, but let's not be discouraged. Because it's not the end of the chapter. It's not the end of the story. God is not through yet. And he is in control. And he knows what he's doing. So let me encourage you this morning. Submit to God's timetable. Don't be discouraged because you're waiting. Don't feel like God has abandoned you or forgotten you. He hasn't. He's just working while you're waiting. And know that in the end of your waiting, God is going to come through and you'll receive your due season, your reward in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. As we honor you today, Lord God, we thank you, Father God, that as we hear your words today, Father God, we are encouraged knowing, Father God, that you are still a God who is in the throne and you're in charge. And nothing alters your will and purpose concerning our lives. And so we thank you, Father, for being so busy and active behind the scenes, even though we don't see it. We thank you, Lord God, that something actually happens when nothing seems to be happening. Because you're working behind the scenes. You are involved and you're in charge. And Lord, so we thank you as we wait for you, Lord. We wait with expectation. We wait with hope. We wait looking forward, Lord God, to knowing that you are always reliable and even more reliable than the rising of the sun. Just as morning will come, we know that you will also come. And Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, and your love, and your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for those of you who are here tonight or this morning. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who's not received you into their lives and into their heart, Father, I pray that today will be the day that they give their lives over to you. Father, that you'll reveal yourself to them and reveal your love and let them feel your grace. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that they will not leave here the same. And Lord, those of you, the people that are watching this morning, Father God, we pray that you reached out and touched them as well. And if there's anyone out there who's watching and they've never given their life to the Lord, we encourage them also to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts. And Lord, we thank you. We bless you. And we give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all of God's people say, amen and amen. Those of you who are watching, if you've never given your life to the Lord, we encourage you to call that number on the screen. There'll be somebody waiting for your call. They'll talk to you, pray with you, and answer any questions you may have. And those of you here this morning, if you've never given your life to the Lord, or if you need prayer, we have a prayer team available for you that you can talk to. Please go and talk with them. Let them pray with you. And if you've never given your life to the heart,
well, we're so thankful that you joined us today, and we trust that you've got a lot of wealth of knowledge and truth, and it touched your heart from Pastor Mike's message today about waiting on God. That three-letter word that even in our Christian life and in our other in profession.